I should like to spend a few minutes on Psalm 95, verses 7 to 11. David, writing this psalm, is taking the part of a preacher. And he's setting his words to a psalm so that Israel can repeat his words to one another and drive home the burden of his discourse. Now, we know what he was aiming for. Let me read his words to you. Today, he says to Israel, if you hear his voice, that's God's voice, do not harden your hearts, as at Meribah, as on the day at Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Psalm 95:7-11. It's clear that David is addressing Israel and telling them that if they would listen to the voice of God, believe his word, trust his word, obey his word, they would enter rest. And he reminds Israel of their history. He reminds them of the wilderness, Meribah and Massa. He could have taken them back to Kadesh Barnea. What am I talking about? Israel had suffered long in slavery in Egypt. But God, under Moses, through the Passover, through the Red Sea, delivered them, brought them out into freedom. He very quickly gave them his law at Sinai. And then almost immediately after that, they had the opportunity of going into rest in Canaan. God had promised it to them, and they were at the door. Unfortunately, sadly, grievously, 10 of the 12 spies that they sent out to spy the land came back with the report which said that though the land was good, excellent, the people were too strong for Israel. And although two men, Joshua and Caleb, gave a sound report and said, no, we can take this land with the Lord's help. The Lord will help us. We have his promise and so on. The 10 prevailed. And Israel turned back and went into the wilderness. This is not the only time. The psalmist refers to Meribah and Massa. They were a people given to not believing God, not trusting his word, not relying upon him, not obeying him. And therefore they did not go into rest. That generation, with the exception of two men, the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, all perished in the wilderness. That was what the wilderness was about. They traveled around, almost pointlessly, you might say, until that generation had died out. Hundreds of years later, David is using this historical episode to drive home his discourse and to write it in a psalm for Israel. God is offering, through David, rest to Israel, if they will hear and obey his word, trust his promise, God will give them rest. Now David was not only a psalmist, and not only a preacher, he was, as we know from Acts 2, a prophet. And as a prophet, he was preaching a larger matter, a bigger subject than even he realized. Now, he realized there was more to it. And we know from 1 Peter chapter 1 that prophets like David gave their prophecies, but they also wondered and explored in their minds, I wonder what this could be. I'm speaking of something larger than I know. But the years rolled by, and eventually, in the fullness of time, God sent his son, Christ, into the world. And then, according to Christ's promise, the Spirit of God led the apostles into all truth. And we have their writings. We have the apostolic inspired writings in the rest of the New Testament. And in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, Hebrews 3, 7 to 4, 9, that writer takes all the speculation and all the guesswork and all the wondering out of it. He tells us exactly what David meant. God offers rest to sinners today. It's not simply Israel, but Israel is a paradigm, an illustration, a glorious, clear example of what the writer to the Hebrews is talking about. The writer to the Hebrews is speaking of Christ and the gospel. And he is saying that Christ in the gospel offers rest to sinners. All they have to do is trust that promise, rely upon Christ, come to Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of their sins, turning to God, and he will receive them, and he will give them rest. Jesus said expressly, Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all you who labor, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Rest, rest, rest. It's one of the glorious Bible words. And Jesus offers rest. And it's only Jesus that can offer rest. There is salvation in no other name, said Peter. Only in the name of Christ, Acts 4:12. John 14, verse 6. Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Only by Christ. But by me, only by me. But coming to Christ, coming to God by Christ, there is rest for the sinner. For sinners need rest. And the great characteristic of all the unconverted is they are laboring. They are in unrest. If I'm addressing any unbeliever in this clip, I speak frankly to you. I know you're on a treadmill. Now, you may deny it, but let me prove it. If I say to you that one day, well, I will tell you plainly, it is appointed unto men, unto you, once to die, and after this the judgment. What are you going to say to God in the day of judgment? How are you going to defend yourself when he says, "You have sinned against me and offended me"? Now, how are you going to defend yourself? Well, judging by the average response, the overwhelming response we get today, it will be something like this. Well, I've always done, I always do my best. I'm decent, and you carry on like that. Did you notice? I. And you notice, do. Verbs of some sort are doing words. That's what I was told when I was younger. Verbs are doing words. And the sinner is always trying to do. The unbeliever is always trying to do something. The Jew said, "What must we do to work the works of God?" The jailer said, "What must I do to be saved? Tell us what to do." And they think, many, many, many think, that by doing this and doing that and not doing the other, by decency, religion, respectability, by reading the Bible, by going to church, by saying their prayers, by giving money, by being honest and respectable and upright, by, some would say, going to sacraments. I hate the word, but they say going to sacraments and using sacraments, whatever it may be. See, you're working. I do my best. Well, you don't. I'll tell you that for nothing. But you see, you're doing, aren't you? And it's futile. It's fruitless. You cannot do. God demands absolute perfection. And you've broken his law in Adam before you start. You've broken. You're a sinner before you start. And you sin because you are a sinner. No, there's no future in works. This is the work of God, says Christ to the Jews, that you believe. That you believe on him who he has sent. His first sermon was, repent and believe the gospel. And I remind you, come unto me, all you who labor, give up your works. Give up all this trying through sacraments, Bible reading, prayers, decency, and religion. Give it up. Repent of your sins, for even your best works are sins. And rest in me. I will wash you from your sins. I will present you faultless before the Father, so that you will have peace with God. Rest. And it's today, my friend. Now, some people say, well, what David was talking about, what this rest is the Sabbath. No, it's not. David was speaking to Israel centuries after God had given the Sabbath. It's not even Canaan, for Israel was in Canaan by now. No. David was speaking of a different rest. And the rest he was prophesying about is not a day of the week. It's not a land. It's a person. Is an experience of Christ. And that is New Covenant theology, you see. That's why I'm doing it in this series. You see, I'm reading Psalm 95 as the New Testament warrants, as the New Covenant warrants. You read the Old Covenant through the eyes of the New Covenant. And you look for Christ. It's not a day of the week, this rest. It is Christ himself. Have you got that rest? If you're an unbeliever, you have not. If you're a Muslim, you haven't got it. If you're looking to the Pope and his priests and those sacrifices of the Mass, you haven't got it. If you're a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Sikh, you haven't got it. It's only in Christ. Come to Jesus. He still offers sinners, and we're all sinners. He offers you, my friend, he offers you rest for your soul now. If you come to him and call upon his name and trust him, he will give you eternal rest, spiritual rest for your soul. Refuse him and you will never know rest, never. Believer, this is New Covenant theology. It's not only simple, it's sweet, it's precious, because it's scriptural. Hebrews 3, verse 7 to chapter 4, verse 9, expounds this passage, Psalm 95, in precisely the same way as I have done it here. And the writer of the Hebrews says, watch out for unbelief. Don't go back from Christ. He was writing to Hebrew believers who wanted to leave Christ. No, he says, stay with Christ, for in Christ there is perfect rest. Come unto me, says Christ. I will give you rest. Come, my friend. Come and receive that rest. And believer, never leave Jesus, for in Jesus is perfect rest for you.